What is porn, and is there good porn? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
What's up, Tyler?
What's going on, Brandon?
Not much. I've just been thinking about all the memories of the past family reunions we've had. We've had some good ones, man.
There's been a lot of family reunions, man.
Give me one of your favorite memories.
From a family reunion?
Give me a family reunion favorite memory.
Oh, man. Well, there's the relational kinds of memories and the things you kind of do memories. And one that just instantly comes to mind is down in central Utah when we got that bowling ball cannon.
Oh, and hey, good one. Way to pull that one out.
You could shoot a bowling ball almost a mile.
Oh, you would almost disappear in the air. I was thinking, man, if that hits like an elk or something, it'll rip its head off.
It'll kill. Yeah, you could definitely see why like an actual cannonball would do some damage.
Yeah, yeah. I think they used a little bit of dynamite. I don't know if that was.
No, they made their own. It was actually black powder. They called it a ding dong. They'd wrap it up in tinfoil and then stick a fuse in it. And then they run the fuse out.
It looked like a ding dong.
It looked like one of those old, like, hostess ding dongs. And as a hostess guy, you know, like, I know what a ding dong looks like, you know.
And it was and it was just full of gunpowder.
Yeah. And then that thing would just blast off, and that bowling ball would fly about a mile. I remember walking out to find it. We actually found the bowling ball again. It was about a mile away.
You know what was weird about that is, like, when I remember when it fired off, it was kind of like the. You know, the end of the reunion, I had like a spiritual experience. It was like, oh man, this is just special. Talk about white trash, man.
Wow.
Like, wow. Look at the bowling ball go. This is so special.
Our family couldn't climb trees. So this is like awesome. Amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, we digress. Should we get into the topic?
Yeah, let's get into the topic. Man. There's a lot to unpack here.
We got I'll let the guests introduce themselves since they're like special guests to us. So go ahead, guys. Tell us why you're here, who you are, what's going on.
Yeah, so what's up, guys? My name's Chase and this is Chelsea.
Hi, I'm
We are a married couple. And we actually work pretty closely with B and Ty on a regular basis. So this feels weird to be this formal, honestly.
Have you been on the show before, Chase? This is your first time.
No, but I've done so many Zoom meetings with you guys that it feels like we're just having a Zoom meeting and it's weird to be recording it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as, you know, other background, Tyler's my brother-in-law.
And also my brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Technically, yeah. That's true. And so B is my brother-in-law's brother. And I have to tell people that
brother
way too
from
often.
Another mother, though.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember when you let me crash at your place in Hawaii. That was a real good time.
That's right.
A lot of star fruit going through my system.
Yes.
At that time. But yeah.
Yeah. So I guess a little bit about us. We're both going to school to become therapists and both have been in this journey of addiction recovery from porn. And is there anything else for our backgrounds that would be helpful?
Chelsea was on a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Actually, before we go any further, I thought it would be kind of cool to give a quick update on some of the things that, I mean, at the end of that episode, she gave a shout out to a support group that she was trying to start because, right, it's hard to find a support group for women kind of dealing with these kind of things. And she's had a handful of people reach out to her. And
we have a solid group. It's nice. Really cool seeing. Yeah, there's about awesome. Five of us.
One of them's from the UK.
Yeah, one's from the UK. She was there already. And some other people have joined. And it's just been really cool to start growing a good friendship, you know, keeping it
that's
super
awesome
cash.
Chelsea,
yeah,
nice job.
Yeah, and there's this girl, actually, if you don't mind me asking, there's a girl that reached out after that episode, but she's 15. She didn't know where to go for resources, and because she is you know, not an adult. I wasn't sure if you guys have any tips for her, for a 15-year-old going through issues with pornography, and what you'd recommend for her.
I mean, I don't know if Tyler, but like I have some good therapists I could recommend for her that would fit really well. Absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
So
good to know. Yeah, so kind of background with this topic. I know this is going to be, it's okay. So before even diving into it, like, I just want to go ahead and vocalize, like, I feel a little bit tense and uncomfortable, just even physiologically feeling kind of weird about
me.
Yeah, no, it's not just you. Because this is such a bizarre thing to explore in a public sense, you know, is this, I mean, while it is just the four of us here, like, imagining that other people are going to be wondering about the way that it's framed or some of the experiences shared, like, and I do want to also say that I'm probably going to be a little bit more on the explicit side, like, not you know, just haphazard with it, but I do want to use correct terminology when I'm describing things, and it seems like it'll be relevant, so that's almost like a trigger warning, if anything. But
yeah,
do you have anything you want to add?
I mean, I think just kind of zooming out from this discussion, is my hopes in this discussion is bringing about like a greater sense of connection to humanity, that no one's alone in this. We all have questions, and I think it's so good to be vulnerable and ask those questions so that we don't just keep ourselves in the dark. So that's all mm-hmm. I have to add.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, what is porn? I'm curious, how do you guys define that? I know that, you know, both of you work in this realm, with, pornography being presented to you as the problem, right? This, that it's an addiction. So what is porn in the lens that you guys, see?
Brandon, do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. The way that, and I think you pretty much could go almost straight to the dictionary to find this, but the way that you might just generally define porn is any material that depicts erotic sexual behavior with the intention of causing sexual excitement.
Yeah. I got, Tyler, you nailed, I mean, I got a definition here from like Wikipedia or something. Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings.
Did you guys, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like sense. A definition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
But to define it like that, I don't think is really the question that you're asking.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because there seems to be kind of a continuum along the lines, according to certain people, of like, when is it lustful? When is it pornography? Like, when does it cross over certain lines? Right. Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, some examples that are kind of interesting. So, culturally, Chelsea and I come from different backgrounds. You know, I was raised in the South, in a hyper religious home, and Chelsea actually was also raised in the South in a hyper religious home.
So, but my parents were Filipino.
Yeah. Which does make a big difference.
So you ate a lot of pancit. While you read the Book of Mormon.
Yep. Right? Rice yeah. every day. There's no escape in being chubby there, you know? Yeah.
But there were some elements when we got married that I just wasn't used to. And I don't know if this is all Philippines or if I represent all white people either, but there were some differences that I was like, oh, I'm not used to that.
What were some of those differences?
One of them is that I am such a private person when it comes to using the bathroom. Doors are locked, lights are on, like fans on, like I want people to know I'm in there, and I do not want them to also plan on joining that space.
Part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like stay out, like I'm doing my thing, you know?
Yes. Yeah, for me growing up, we would just, if someone was on the toilet, we would just run in, grab the hairdryer if we needed it. The door was pretty much just cracked for anyone that needed to go in the bathroom.
Right. And then kind of that perpetuated into our, also we're going to have probably little visitors throughout the experience. Hopefully this won't be too distracting, but we've got with kids, actually, this is totally pertinent. Good timing. Chelsea, it will be naked throughout the house and our kids will
just hang trying to take her. Back my own house.
She'll, you know, like take a bath with them or something. And they're 3 and 4. Right. And that's like, and they don't view their bodies through a sexual lens at this age. Right. It's just a penis and that's just a vagina and those are boobs, like whatever. And for me, like, I am usually shielded. Like I see Rhea walk in the room and I'm putting my underwear on or something. I'm like, ooh, got to get this on fast. I would hate for her to see my penis. And I think there's even like underneath that, like some elements, like I can think of one time that I've seen my dad naked. And it was actually when I was getting baptized, like he was changing out of his wet clothes and I was
it before or after the baptism though?
It was after. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. I'm just joking about
saying. And same with my mom. Like I came out of her vagina. I was birthed by her. I can't remember ever once seeing, you know, any part of her body that would be a sexual organ. And so, to me, that's, and I wrote this down because this is, I thought, kind of an interesting thing. I am disgusted, like just at the thought of my parents having sex, right? That's like kind of ubiquitous. Like, oh, your mom and dad did it to have you. And you're like, oh, hey, dude.
Now you're making us all feel uncomfortable because yeah, we're thinking of our parents doing this.
Exactly. And like, those are your origins, right? Like you were a little strong sperm.
We don't need to go into details here.
Right. I don't need to go into too much, but at the same time, like it is ironic to me or even paradoxical that the way that I began, I'm like, I do not want to have that in my mind. I'm disgusted. How to phrase it? Like, it's something that I don't look at just objectively, right? Like just, yeah, that's just how it happened. I'm like, I'm grossed out. I'm horrified by it. And, mm-hmm. And same with the idea of seeing my parents like naked or anything like that, that grosses me out. And at the same time, they're just regular human bodies having a full life experience. And I think this kind of plays, one of the questions that I have is you know, there's other countries that are a lot more open to public nudity, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, I think about France even and just the media commercials. A friend that I interned with, she was saying that in their soap commercials, they just have women like taking a shower as part of the soap commercial that shows like more of their body and it's normal. It's in like daytime TV.
And she's from Belgium.
She's from Belgium, right? Yeah. And hopefully I'm not jumping the gun, babe, but it is that discussion of like, what is porn?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because I mean,
what's the difference?
You think about it. Like if I see a boob, does that mean that it's a sexual experience? Is it that it's trying to be erotic? Like in that situation, it could actually be that they're just trying to say, yeah, this is body. This is how you scrub a boob. I'm not saying, I don't know the intent of how they were marketing that or staging that, but at the same time, it's like cover up the body as much as possible, just in case somebody might be triggered in a sexual sense. And to me, that like I was thinking about the gap between when I was a kid growing up, having never seen any naked bodies, up to the point that I did, the first time I ever did, it was porn. Right. I was like 7 years old, saw a magazine, and it was like, what a leap from like nothing to this.
Right.
And sometimes I wonder how adverse that's been for me. Like, what if I had seen naked bodies throughout my life? Would that change anything, mm-hmm. In a non-sexual context? So mm-hmm. I think this is where it's like, what is porn? Like that's kind of where I'm wondering is, have we overly conservatized it? Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Tyler?
Well, there's so much to that, you know? I mean, And there's so many different directions we could go with this right now. Have we overly conservatized it? I honestly don't think so. I actually think it's gone the other way in our world to our detriment personally. But I don't know that that's the direction you're actually asking or wanting to go. Do I think that we could do a better job as parents raising our children with being more comfortable with the fact that we all have physical bodies with certain parts and that we can normalize that, and that even a young child has certain kinds of thoughts and feelings and questions that goes through them that are okay to talk about? Yeah, we could definitely do a better job than that of that. And I think it would actually serve our children way better if we did that.
And maybe that's what I mean too, is not have we over conservatized porn itself, but have we included too many things in what is classified as porn? Like even just like an anatomical image of a naked body, is yeah. that considered porn?
Up at BYU, Idaho, did you hear about that?
Uh-huh.
They took the anatomy book and they blocked out certain parts in the anatomy book. Yeah. So this is an example of like, this is an anatomy book for a college course. We're blocking certain things out. You know, I think about when I moved to the Philippines as a 19-year-old and women were breastfeeding on like sitting out on their front porch and breastfeeding, or I'm teaching a lesson in their house and they'd pull their boobs out and start feeding, you know? And like, to me, it was like you, Chase, like, whoa, like boobs, like this. Yeah, they're breastfeeding, you know. What is normal? I think you're kind of getting into what is normal sexual development. You know, a woman breastfeeding in front of me, that's not pornography. And I think if we call that pornography, we do a disservice to her. And also it's problematic inside of me because I've been living in some extreme. Right. And so the soap commercial is an interesting example, because if you come back to the definition of pornography, you know, intended to stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings. So they're talking about the intention of the marketer who made that commercial. What they're not taking into account is the viewer. So if I'm viewing that from a certain experience, I might have erotic arousal from that commercial. I might not, because maybe the intention was just aesthetic and whatever, right? So what then makes it pornography?
Well, Brandon, it sounds like it's a two-sided coin, with the intention of the one producing and the intention of the one consuming.
Yeah, right. But the definition's saying it's all about the one producing, right?
It's saying, it's produced with the intention of eliciting that kind of a, but that could also, that definition could also be applied to the person who's pursuing it, right? Like if you're the one who, like, there's a lot of people who get sexually stimulated by going and looking at videos of people breastfeeding, right?
Right.
That the person pursuing it is just as on the hook for what they're trying to elicit as the person producing it. It's a two-sided street. That's what you're saying.
Right. So are they and this is an interesting discussion. So are they taking an image that maybe wasn't intended as pornography at all, but turning it into pornography? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that that's, according to that definition, that's a possibility. And it also, if that's true, that also still fits within the realm of this idea of addiction recovery or whatever, that we're pursuing a progressive victory over lust, right? So if there's something that I'm pursuing that is actually producing that sexual response for me, but to my detriment in other ways, to where my life's becoming unmanageable, even though it's not pornography by the world standards, it's something that I should have a progressive victory over, because it's not going to lead me to places in my life that I want to end up at, right? And on the flip side, just because they throw it on the TV in Europe and it's normal doesn't mean it's not like intentionally being put out there to elicit a sexual response, right? Just because pornography is normal in a country doesn't mean it's not pornography.
Well, what is pornography?
It's intended to elicit a sexual response, right? an erotic response.
So, and maybe that's the commercial is probably not the best one, because that there is definitely a motive there from the company to probably utilize that aspect, right?
Get viewers.
But even, even to the point of like, you go to a nudist beach, I don't think it's because everybody there is trying to get their rocks off. I think they're just trying to put their body in the sun. And at the same time, like that could, that here is something like, ooh, that's hypersexual. So I think it's almost like the view on the body as a whole, like is it a good thing? Like where are the lines, like the literal lines of what is public and what is private, mm-hmm. and how that's influenced by culture?
I think it's, maybe this will answer your question, Chase, with, you know, Tyler, you said that we've gone too far in one direction. I think we've gone too far in both directions. And as we go too far in one direction, it pushes us to go far in the other. And that's the problem. And so when we're so black and white and so anti-sex and reject sex completely, and everything we look at is like so stimulating because we're so pent up, then yeah, there's porn everywhere, because yes. I can walk in a grocery store and see a girl in yoga pants and be like, oh my gosh, I can't handle this. Right.
Right.
So there's a dialectic, there's a middle ground of healthy sexuality that exists, that we need to honor the healthy sexuality as much as we need to fight against sexuality that harms people and causes problems, right? Like both of those things need to exist.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, the part of the reason we're bringing this up isn't just because we want to know for ourselves as much as it is like we've got these two little awesome kids. And I know that there's a better way than the way that that we were brought up. And I want to make sure that we're as aware as possible of kind of all the gotchas, like what is the healthiest education that we can give these kids? Because man, it's brought a lot of pain and harm and conflict in our own lives. And that's, if we can help them avoid those pitfalls, then I would love to bridge that gap, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not that I want to encourage my kids to go look at porn or anything like that ever. I appreciate, I think, Ty, what you said about combating the battle against lust or something like that, overcoming lust. And you know, for me, that I'm kind of curious about, like, maybe this leads into something about arousal templates. I look back on how I was taught about sex, and it was through porn. It was a lot through rap music. I grew up in West Atlanta and listened to Ludacris and Outkast and Lil Wayne and all these kind of Southern rappers that they love talking about female bodies, right? And stuff like that. And so the way that I internalized that is, okay, this is what's worthy of pursuit. This is how I do it. And so it feels like I'm trying to delineate the difference between what is healthy and good that is a part of my arousal template versus what is lustful. And how do you separate those two? Is there a difference between those two?
It's a great question. I want to speak really quickly to something that Brannon was saying, because I think you're right about this, Brannon, that it's a really polarizing thing between both ends of the spectrum, because you hear on one hand this like hyper conservative thing that like roots in is like, and then eventually it gets taught like, shut off all sexuality, don't want to do that, like that's not healthy, right? And what it does is it actually plays into the hands of the other side, let's call it the pornography industry, that wants it to be such a taboo subject that the only place you're going to go is a little boy in Atlanta getting educated by Lil Wayne and the things he finds on the internet, instead of having his parents step into a conversation about the fact that he has a body that has certain things that include a sexual response, amongst other things. Right. And now the place where the education would be the most beneficial is totally shut down. And the only thing left is something that is evil, doing the teaching to a child that's now operating from shame on one hand, and then getting an education from a place that wants to actually use and sort of twist the whole sexual response into something that is primarily only physical, for the sake of the addiction systems to grab a hold of him and have him paying for it by the time he's 35. Like, that's the problem. So the middle ground is actually the place where it needs to happen. And so I think having that discussion about the, like, what is a sexual template, you know, and as your kids grow up, being able to have that conversation with them about their bodies, about the fact that, you know, your son has probably started playing with himself at times, right? If he's like most little boys.
Yeah. Like, he can't get his hands off his nuts.
Yeah. And when that happens, there's an opportunity to be curious, to ask some questions, to have some conversations. When you start seeing him being drawn towards certain things, when you walk down the grocery store aisle 4 years from now, and he's like turning his head like, whoa, what was at the magazine rack? Like, instead of like, oh, don't look at that, that's bad. It's more of like, whoa, what's going on for you, bud? Like, oh, and then, and I think this is the place where most of us go wrong, because we can't stand to have these conversations with our kids, is that we need to make sex about the entire being rather than just the physiological. Like, the physiological is like that powerful shot. Like, we get it. It's like, bam, like, it's there. But the reason why we treat sex in a certain way is because we can't, I mean, everyone tries to lie to themselves, but sex is more than just a physical response. Sex is spiritual, it's social, it's emotional, it's relational, it's tied to values. And those discussions never get had at the extremes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the middle where you can have those discussions.
It's sex is not what we do and don't do. Like, that's what we're taught. Like, don't do this, do that, don't do that. Our sexuality is a part of, it's part of our soul. It's deep within us. And I want to give a real example of what you're talking about, Tyler. So my 7-year-old loves his penis. Like, just, you know, he loves it, and he gets erections and likes to walk around the house with an erection. And, you know, we got people around.
Hey, isn't he 8 now?
Yeah, he's 8 now. He's 8. But he really loved his penis when he was 7 for some reason. You know, when he'd do that, I wouldn't pull out the cold hammer and hand him a Bible. Like, hey, hold the Bible while I hit your penis so it's not erect. Like, shut it down, buddy. Knock it off. Like, that's not what I do at all. At all.
But you're also not going to have him walking through the grocery store showing it off to everybody.
Exactly. And
where,
so this
Augie is yelling penis at every opportunity in public. I'm like, look, dude, we got to figure out a healthy balance here.
Yeah.
This is the middle ground where I actually, practical use of self, would say things like, dude, like, you got an erection. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I know how that feels. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy that your body can do that. That's awesome, man. Now, could you take your erection to your room where, you know, you can be private with it? Because, you know, like, we have some boundaries here. So it's awesome. Good for you. That's amazing. And there's some boundaries and there's some limits. And those boundaries and those limits, it might seem like that's just about shame. And it's not, because we as human beings don't feel safe when there's no limits around our emotions, around our spirituality, and around our sexuality. If I'm walking around naked in front of my daughters, my teenage daughters, all the time, I'm not being the cool dad who's teaching them healthy sexuality. I'm being the father at some point.
Who's you're going to have DCFS on your doorstep.
Who's harming them. And that's not just a social construct that no. I don't believe. I think no. that's actually human development. It's not. Mm-hmm. Now I get if we were in a different culture, some of those things might mean different things to my daughters. I understand that. But I think even in the cultures where they're different, where there's more nudity or whatever, they still have some level of boundary around their sexuality. It might be a little bit different than ours. But there is that it is being taught that, hey, like we can't just have sex with whoever, whenever. Like there's boundaries when it comes to sexuality, which is healthy as a human being. It makes us feel safe. Right. So boundaries with positive regard and acceptance of sexuality at the same time. That's like the sweet spot. So like my 12-year-old, I'm telling him like, hey, you're going to see porn. And dude, you're going to get excited by it. Like it's going to get you excited. I promise you. And when you do see it, like what I want you to do is at least I want you to come talk to me about it. Tell me how you felt, what it was like for you. And I'm leaving it at that for him. Why do you think I'm leaving it there for him? I'm not going to
exploration. There's no, yeah, you're not shutting him down.
Because I want to teach. I want to be there with him. I want to help him understand himself. And then I want to have him have the power to choose his behaviors and not use shame to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think it is important, and this is back to our original question, to understand what is porn. Because if I'm saying you're gonna want to see porn and you're going to like it, you know, like if he sees a girl at school that he likes, is she pornography? No, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to distinguish what something that is trying to elicit straight up lust versus natural sexual feelings, right? But I'm not demonizing the porn and the feelings that he has of lust to start with. I'm just going to acknowledge that they're there. Then I'm going to help him manage that. So am I
yeah, no, that is making a lot of sense. I think I'm curious too about like further than that, like how do you help him manage that, like what does that look like? Because I think it makes sense all the way up until like let's say he has a girlfriend. Is she allowed to come over to the house and spend one-on-one time together, alone in his room? Why or why not? You know, like where the kind of rubber meets the road kind of conversations. Like it seems like I only know the black and white, like here are the absolute rules. And it was so easy for me to say something was not permissible, because most things were not permissible. Anything within the sexual possibility was out. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I'm curious is like, how do you, what types of rules do you have within your home or outside of your home to help facilitate the right healthy approach?
I think, you know, before we get into like specific rules, to me, it's more about values. It's more about the conversations that you're having with your kids as they grow to understand both sides of the coin we're talking about here. That on, as Brandon's talking to his son, he's saying, yeah, that's totally going to light you up because you're designed to be lit up by those things. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason why it's $100 billion a year industry, is because they got that part right. Like they got the light up part right. For me, the other side of the coin is, let's also understand what the costs are to do it this way versus these other ways to the whole experience itself, right? So a 12-year-old's not going to understand all of this on the level we're talking about now, but you dumb it down to the level of the age of your child, right? So I look at it from a perspective of all things, all think of the most powerful things in the world. Let's take nuclear power, right? Nuclear power, when it's treated properly, produces more power than anything else in the world in a cleaner way for a more extended period of time than any other kind of power in the world. right? And if it's mistreated, it is completely destructive, because without the right kinds of bounds, when it's unbounded, it goes to places that cause total destruction, right? So that's why it bugs me so much when people get into this term of like sex positivity and they associate it with the pornography industry. Pornography is not sex positivity, because pornography is dealing in the specific sexual response, and it's not accounting for all of those other things that are also tied to it. In some cases, it dismisses it. In other places, it actually damages it in the areas of, you know, emotional well-being, healthy sexuality between two people, the relational aspect of it, like all of those other things. And so I want to be teaching my kids the complete picture of sexuality with the proper bounds, rather than shutting them down completely, but also not like sending them off into that world and being like, yeah, hey, here's a couple of websites you might try out and come back and tell me what you find.
Just right. a piece of what you're saying, Tyler, I want to highlight, which is, you know, you say it's about values. And I'll talk about it in terms of parenting, but I think this actually, like, we can actually apply this to ourselves and to our marriages, is I want to align myself with my children to help them understand their choices and the consequences to their choices, and then empower them to make those choices. So what I mean is, if I go to my son and I just say, you're going to feel, you know, excited when you see porn, and that's going to light you up, and I just leave it there long term, well, that just kind of like, what does that do? But then if I have further discussions and I help him understand what kind of life he wants and what kind of choices he wants to make and what kind of relationships he wants, you know, my guess is he probably won't choose to just indulge in porn every day. Because he'll understand, like, hey, I want my sexuality and my relationship to be what Tyler's talking about, which is whole. It's not just purely physical and purely results oriented and purely on a screen, right? So I want to empower him to do that. Now, how do we apply this to ourselves and to our relationship? It's the same thing. If we come to it with can't, nope, 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 and that's all it is, then it goes underground and it becomes compulsive. When we come to it saying, I'm going to be an open human being, I'm going to be authentic, and I'm going to make my choices as I step into them, and I'm going to understand the consequences to those choices. Therefore, I can be open with my spouse, I can honor my sexuality, and I can choose what I want and what I don't want, right? Which is way different than force and control.
Does that make sense, Chase, to your question, or do we miss it?
No, I mean, I think that's nailing it. I mean, I guess I'm imagining what these kinds of conversations will be like once we're to that stage. And mm-hmm. I think it almost seems like what matters most is having a healthy relationship with your kid, and having just open dialogue and kind of just faith in their abilities to make decisions and to fail. Let that be okay.
Listen to what you just said and apply that to yourself and apply that to your spouse. What really matters is having a healthy relationship with yourself, allowing yourself to make mistakes, to understand yourself better, and then to choose what you want, right? Having that healthy relationship with your spouse, same thing.
Room to fail. And I think I'd add one more thing to what you said there is, and in the process of that, do some learning. Mm-hmm. Like, failure alone isn't going to do anything unless that failure is used to do some learning. And that's the whole, I mean, if you look at it from a Christian perspective, that's the whole design of this life, is to, you get a body and you get choice. That's what you've got when you come to this world, and you get to use your choice, hopefully, to do a whole bunch of learning and eventually learn to align yourself with the will of God for you, which means being honest with yourself and coming to an understanding and knowledge of who you are and your value. And if we're teaching our kids to work towards those things, then we're doing them a service. We're acting in the same, in alignment with God. The key is that we're there to help do the teaching too. You know, we don't just, you know, leave them there. So,
Tyler, I want to ask you,
yeah.
When we found porn under that tree in that park, when I don't know how old I was.
Dude, I think I was probably like 11 or 12.
I know, I was like 10, and we were over that park with a lot of creepy people all by ourselves. We found a porn magazine, and it was like hardcore porn. It wasn't straight. Like
that's the first thing I'd ever. My first initiation was like hardcore porn.
Yeah. So did we fail in that moment? Because I was 10, and I remember arousal and right. Did we fail in that moment?
Well, I mean, we were ignorant,
right? And so what you just said is important. Is that the teaching behind it, to have that a parent where that parent could help us navigate that. That's an actual awesome learning opportunity for us. To have that there for us. So yeah.
Contrast that, Brandon. I didn't, it lit me up and I was curious and I was like, I couldn't understand what I was seeing. But I didn't tell anybody. And I ran home.
I didn't either.
And then I went back by myself when no one else was around because I had to go try to figure out what had just gone on. Uh-huh. Right. Now contrast that with, you know, several years ago, my daughter, I was chaperoning a camp she was at. And all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I hear her voice outside my tent. She's like, "Hey, Dad, I got to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay, what's going on?" I thought maybe she's getting bullied or something, you know. She's like, "I got a question." And I said, "Okay, what's your question?" She said, "What's a blowjob?" Like, and the inside of me was like, "Oh, are we going there at like 1 a.m. right now? Seriously?" Like, you know, like, "Okay, come in here," you know. And I sat down and I talked to her about what that was. And she looked at me with this like look on her face, like, "Well, why would I want to do that?" You know? like, and we kind of just had this talk. And then she just kind of nodded her head. She's like, "Yeah, thanks, Dad." I'm like, "Okay, well, why are you asking the question?" And she said, "Oh, because there was a conversation going on and they were talking about these things and I didn't understand it. And I just wanted to understand it so I could be a part of the conversation." And I was like, how awesome is it that she felt safe enough to come and talk to her dad instead of get on her phone and type in those words? Right. And how cool was it that she was able to hold that conversation and go, "Oh, okay. Doesn't sound like something I'm interested in right now at age like 13, but okay. I guess that's what people do sometimes." Like, boom, she'd go back in and finish her night off and not feel ostracized, not feel weird, not feel bad, not feel ignorant. Like, but the line of communication was open and she knew that she could come and step into it without that. Like, "Oh my gosh, let me go back into that cabin and line out all those kids about what they're talking about," or whatever else is going on, right? It's so different than, you know, Brandon, that first day at Sugar House Park was instant secrecy.
Automatic.
Instant automatic secrecy. Nobody knew about that until we were adults. And then we all like, even you talking to you about it, I never even approached it with you.
No.
Like, yeah, but pretend that didn't happen. Like,
yeah, we just hid it under a bush and then, you know, we both went back later to try to find it. Well, you found it apparently. Someone had thrown it away.
I found it, but back. I think actually one of the other guys that we were with, I throw his name out, but I don't know if he wants to be outed. I think he went back up there and did the good boy thing and he threw it in the river.
So. I'll just call him Stubby, man. Stubby's the man.
Those poor fish.
He is the man. So,
yeah, I really love that story though, Ty. I love how your daughter was able to openly converse with you about those things and not keep it a secret. And this has been such a good discussion. I've had so many thoughts, but I think one of them that stands out for me now is just being like studying social work and dealing with like homeless populations, drug addictions, all these big things going on. People are asking me like, "Why are you wanting to focus on porn when there's so many other things going on in the world?" And I think with what we've talked about, it's this idea of just porn not being the defining aspect of human sexuality and wanting to really emphasize how intimacy can be such a beautiful thing that isn't defined through porn. I don't know if I phrased that right, but
I love it, Chels.
Yeah.
I want, can I kind of, this took a turn that I didn't expect, but it was really good. We talked a lot about parenting, which I love. And a quick story. My daughter walked in on me when she was like five or something. And I was, had just got out of the shower, and she's like stunned. And she says, "Dad, your vagina has a big old daddy's nose." And I just thought, oh, okay. Like I gotta teach my daughter what a penis is, you know? And then next week in church, like it's during the quietest time, like during the sacrament, like, right. And she yells out, "Daddy, you have a penis."
And you're like, "That's my girl."
Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's funny.
My kids, I've gotten to the point where I'll sit down for dinner, like, "Hey, do you guys want to talk about sex?" "Oh, again? Ah, bleh," you know? And I'm like, "Oh, man, I love talking about it. It's great," you know? You know, it needs to be this thing that is very normalized and okay, comfortable to talk about, you know?
Yes, I was just telling Chase, I think my goal of, yeah, one of my goals is just to be able to talk to the kids about sexuality, like any questions they have, because I want to make sex the least sexy thing at home, you know?
Yeah,
like don't make it mysterious. Something. Yeah, just make it part of the human experience where you can ask questions. There's boundaries, yes, but that is part of the discussion that takes place in our whole lifetime, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and Chelsea, you can do that discussion in age-appropriate ways.
Yes.
Without demonstration.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. So, but I think you're right. Like that's, I actually think that's how you inoculate someone from the risk of an actual full-on addiction to pornography, is you help them come to an understanding of healthy sexuality. And then they start to see that what they're doing is either going to hurt them and the values they want to live, or it's going to help them in the values that they want to live. But now it's gone from it. You move it into choice rather than compulsion. And that the way you get there is through conversation and education. Right. So,
guys, thanks for coming on. Thanks for bringing just a great question. And, you know, just thanks to Chase and Chelsea for being them. And the Therapy Bros podcast, for all you listeners, would not happen and would not be, we would not be here today without Chase. So, and, you know, Chelsea's his best support. So, you guys have no idea how important he is. So,
I actually remember when you came up, B, to the office and Logan, and we were sitting around talking about different ideas for projects to work on. You had mentioned something like, I mean, we're both brothers and we're therapists. And I was like, well, why not have a podcast called Therapy Brothers? And you know, I think you guys kind of laughed it off for a little bit. And I remember it just like sticking with me. I'm like, holy crap, that has to happen. I bought the domains and started getting the podcast set up, and then was like, all right, when are you recording? We're ready to go.
Boom, here we are, years later. So
right. We're coming up on our 300th episode here. We're getting not too far off from it. It's pretty crazy.
That's right. Like, I think I don't know if you guys saw that text, but there's over 600,000 downloads.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's wild. So yeah.
Anyway. Did not come from me. I'm just kidding. I listen.
Guys, not a sometimes. Follower.
Guys, we'd love to get more downloads. So if you like this episode, don't be shy to share it. I think there's a lot of good parenting advice in here. Yeah, we joked around a lot and stuff, but if you go back, listen to the principles of what we talked about, I think it's really important for your kids, for sexual development. And thanks for listening. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, guys.